And sometimes they feel that they are like, oh, so you are Davis then. And I become a little radical in that area. Now I go like, Darvis? Darvis, what is that? Darvis? No, you know. We're just Christians gathered unto the name of the Lord, unto him alone. That's simple. We're just Christians that gather unto the name of the Lord in a very simple way. Yes, we try to do it in a simple way like the first Christians. Yes, we don't give ourselves a name because that would bring another division or form another denomination that we don't want. And I think when you give them those two, three appetizers, that should be enough. And then we don't say, okay, we don't have pasta, we don't have music. I have to say I learned some things when I was in the islands. And there I was taught that you better say, come and see. Come and see. Because otherwise people imagine that must be a dead church. And we just want them to see how exciting it is because the Lord is there. And they can only see that when they come. And then we're so afraid that well, they will see all our mistakes. And when they come for the first time, everything goes wrong. And there was no line in the worship meeting. And the children were terrible. And everything goes wrong. And at the outside, we speak to them. And they say, wow, this was amazing. We have never seen that. It seems that it was all, you know, did you organize this? You know, who organized that? And then you explain the leading of the Spirit. And they are so amazed at times. And we felt that was the worst Sunday of the year. God blinds the eyes sometimes, and he really puts it all right in their spirit. So that is wonderful. And now, coming back to where we are here, I would like to really underline the fact that we don't say we are this or that. We are not the grace and truth people. And we know that. But there is a huge danger again. I have nothing against the name Grace and Truth if you want to put it on a hall and you just say that's the Grace and Truth Hall so that people could identify or something like that, possibly. But if the next hall is also Grace and Truth and the next one too, and then the ministry and the radio ministry and the school and I don't know what things, are we not in danger? We have to be very careful. If I put Grace and Truth, and I know I'm in America, not in Switzerland, but if I put Grace and Truth on the assembly where we are, in Switzerland, or in Germany, people would visit me and would start to talk to me and to us as an assembly if we decide to do that. And they would go like, what is this? Are you giving yourself a name now? That's how the saints over there would look at it. So it's just something to consider. Maybe we have to be creative and use different names for different halls, which is also the case, but there is a danger in all of that. Let's turn the page, and we come to page 18. You see there is an additional problem here. Now, you have the dark gray people here, that we have put here as Christians by name, not saved. You see, they are outside of the circle. They are Christians that now say, I am a Christian, I am, you know, but they were never born again. They are unbelievers. And you have the red guys, if I could say it that way, it's believers or unbelievers. You don't even know at the end of the day, but it's people who live in sin. They live really in sin and have a doctrinal wrong teaching in the sense of evil teaching and a sinful teaching. And now you could argue, well, should they be inside the yellow circle or this background inside circle, or should they be outside? And in our first edition, we had them right on the border, and people were not happy. Saints told us, listen, you can't do that. There's no category like this. They're either in or out. And I agree, you're either in or out. But I would still put them there, because Scripture treats even a believer like that. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there is a brother who we know was a brother. And he lives in sin, which was not even known in the world, in the nations. And then he must be put out of fellowship. And in 2 Corinthians, we know he was a brother and he's reinstituted and the love is restored to him. The scripture does not tell us there is this brother amongst you and you need to take care of that problem. It says a man that is called a brother. And that is very significant. Saints, we cannot say that if somebody lives in fornication, oh yes, we know you are saved, but you know you need to get things right, you need to get back to the Lord, and you need... We cannot just go like that, say, okay, you're saved, we know this, but he's your Savior, is he also your Lord? He also needs to be your Lord. That's not how Scripture speaks. The Scripture tells us of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us that no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is a reality. And you will say, yeah, but this verse is for the unbelievers. It's not for him. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture clearly says that the one that lives in this kind of sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now people will ask me, well, don't you believe in the security of salvation? Of course, I believe totally in the security of salvation. But that brother or sister is now living on the broad road. Now, Scripture doesn't say that we go through the narrow gate and end up on the broad road. Behind the narrow gate, there is a narrow path. And Scripture tells us very clearly that we are either there or there. And if somebody behaves as walking here on the broad road, what am I supposed to see? I shall know them by the fruit. And there comes a point where I have to put in question even his salvation, unfortunately. And I will speak to him in that way. And I will be very serious with him. Now, I, as a father, if it is my son, I will in my heart know I saw the boy or the daughter grow up. And I have my conviction. And even if he died or she died in that state, I would have my deep conviction. That can be very consoling to my heart. That is another side of things. But I, as a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, I cannot go over this lightly. And I have to talk very seriously to that person. And I have to take that principle, what Scripture tells me. Now God knows those that are his. That's God's side, and he knows if he will save that person as through fire. He knows if this is a true child of God, and therefore under the chastisement of God, we might not see it. The person will probably see it, but not realize it maybe totally. And if there is the chastisement in that phase of life where somebody went off course and lived that kind of life and now God is chastising him or her, and then in order to bring him back on that right track that leads to heaven, because right now they are walking on a path that leads to destruction. There is no broad road that ends up in heaven somehow miraculously. And the way goes always through the cross. So I just insist on this because that is very important in our days. We keep things clear. And God puts his discipline to bring him back. And if there's no discipline, then he's a bastard. That is exactly what is the case. What Scripture tells us, Hebrews 12, for example. And this is why we put those people here very on the borderline. I would put them right on the border, but we decided to put them inside